Well, hi there. This is session number 50. This is really a Christmas-type message entitled To Fulfill, and the scripture is Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Here we are looking once again at the events surrounding the birth of the baby Jesus in Bethlehem over two millennia ago. We have seen that prophets foretold the Savior many hundreds of years before the event took place. We have seen the writ of ancient scrolls tell of the events leading up to Jesus' birth in that now famous stable. If you look in the scriptures, you will find that there is continual information leading up to the birth of Christ. Continual information telling them that a Savior will come to right the wrong, to restore man's relationship to God. It comes out over and over and over again in word, in pictorial sorts of stories, or from the stories that are told. It just appears time and time again as a message from God Himself to mankind. Now, there was an announcement then in the Holy of Holies. We can learn much from the manner in which God chooses to bring His only begotten Son into the world. There was an announcement made to the high priest of that year as he ministered in the Holy of Holies, carrying out the sprinkling of blood of the sacrificial lamb on the Ark of the Covenant. Now remember, this Holy of Holies was a place that this high priest for that year, there was a different high priest each year, and that high priest would go in and he would have to crawl under this curtain. And that curtain was about 5 inches thick. This was a heavy curtain. This was not some thin, flimsy curtain. And behind that curtain, on the opposite side, when he would go in there, then would be the Holy of Holies. And the Holy of Holies, the major thing in there was the Ark of the Covenant. And so he would go in to offer sacrifice for the sins of Israel and for the cleansing of them. And not to get too fine a point on that detail, but he would go in, and you'll remember that he had a cord tied around his ankle and he had bells on his garment so that if he didn't meet the requirements, if he wasn't ceremonially clean enough, he would instantly drop dead as soon as he got on the other side of that curtain. And they had the cord around him because they couldn't go in to get him. So they would drag him out in that fashion. So this was no small thing that was happening. But an announcement is made, and that announcement is that it's almost so difficult. You can see how he would have found it hard to believe. There he was carrying out his function when he learns that he and his wife are going to have a son. Now, this couple were both well beyond childbearing years. The high priest's first inclination was to laugh at such an incredible possibility. And because of that laughter, he ended up not being able to speak until the baby was born. But God caused it to happen anyway, this baby to he and his wife. Their son became the precursor of the Christ. Now, a precursor is, if you've ever seen any old movies or read books that tell about it, you know, you have people who go in front that says, make way, make way, make way, you know, and rich people would have that, politicians would have that, the king would certainly have that as he came through. And they were the precursor, letting everybody know he's coming, you know, clear a path for him. Well, that's what John the Baptist was doing for Jesus the Christ. He was coming and he said, you know, I'm not even worthy to unlatch the sandals of the one who comes after me. Then we see an angel appearing to Mary. You see, Mary then encounters an angel telling her she would have the Christ child. Mary also questions how this could be since she was a virgin. God caused it to happen anyway. It was just as she had been told also. It's interesting that when God is making a move, it is very much a human trait to question that move. How can this be? We can't see it. I bring this out because I'm sure that you face times and issues in your life when you cannot see how anything that has been prophesied to you or anything that people say good that could happen to you, you go, well, I just can't see how that could happen. When God is moving, it doesn't make any difference whether you see it or not, because he's got a plan, and he will carry out his plan. Now, does that mean that everything that happens during that time is in God's will? Absolutely not, because it's not God's will that anybody would perish, and some people will perish. And I'll talk about that in just a few minutes. But God is carrying out his plan that has been laid out clear back in the Garden of Eden, right on through. And we're privileged to live in a time when there's another major move of God happening right now. Now, that can be comforting, but that can also be disconcerting. Because when God moves, things get shaken. And the thing that we must do as believers is continually keep our focus on God and trust that he will work it through no matter how things look. If we simply rely on our sight, our physical sight, without relying on the spiritual sight gifts that God promises to believers, we'll be a very miserable people, perhaps, through many of the moves that God makes. So I would caution you about that and say, stay in tune with God. Keep short accounts if you get upset with people. Keep short accounts if you get upset with God. Believe me, he's always in the right. We may misunderstand him. We may not think that that could ever happen. But then the priest said, ha, 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 how could I have a child? I am yet so old. Mary said, oh, how could I have a child? I am but a virgin. But she did. You see, but she did. People laughed at Noah. What do you mean rain? It's never rained. What is rain? We don't even know what rain is. 120 years he endured that kind of harassment, people laughing at him. But he stuck with God's plan. And he and his whole household came through the flood. Very important. Then we get to Joseph. Here he is. He's going to marry Mary, and then he gets the news. Now, Joseph was concerned about the fantastic story he had heard from Mary. Now, the word fantastic, you understand, comes from fantasy. So he had every reason to believe, what a fantasy. She's going to tell me that God made her pregnant, that she's never been with somebody. That was pretty fantastic, wasn't it? That sounded like a fantasy. So he questioned her credibility and sought to put her away quietly. But then God shows up again. He sends an angel. And this angel comes to dissuade Joseph from the plan of action that he has taken. Why? Because God wants to implement his plan, and he wants Joseph in that plan. And in the last session, when you go into the meanings of these names, which is why I'm not dwelling on names this time, you have to go back into the last session. And, of course, you can readily get that on the Internet at SojournersHub.org. That explains that in more depth. But what we're seeing here and what's happening here in these different parts of the story is we're seeing prophecy fulfilled. We're seeing the revelation of God's plan having been accomplished. God's plan. God fulfilled his plan to that point. When a matter is fulfilled, it is accomplished, carried out, brought to an end, satisfied, completed. With God, a fulfillment is carried out his way. When God is going to fulfill his plan, it will be his way. It is our responsibility to get in step with God, not for God to get in step with us. The blessing comes in the path that God creates, not getting God to bless the path we create. We're a part of His creation, and we must go with His plan. Now, we are actually a part of living out the promise. Mankind is now continuing to live out the plan of God. This plan is to permit the completion of the redemption of all mankind who will come into God's kingdom through Jesus the Christ. Remember, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's His function. It's what He does. He is the Redeemer. He is the Savior. He is Emmanuel, God with us. Now then, God gave man free will because He loves us so much. And how would you feel? Would you really feel loved if somebody, if you kept somebody a prisoner and they had no choice but to just be there and fetch and tote and care for you? You know, we've all heard the thing about, you know, the only way you know really is when you release someone you love and they still come back. That's what God did with free will. He released us to do things our way. Now, those people who adopt in their life the salvation offered by Christ and adopt a biblical worldview are people who understand exactly what's happening in the world right now. Other people are floundering, coming up with man's own answers and this sort of thing. But free will brought about another thing, too. You see, free will can disturb the goal of God's plan in two ways. Now, God allowed something in us that could actually disturb His plan. Because what's His plan? His plan is that no one should perish. So the first way of the two ways is a person not accepting God's Son and thus condemning themselves to separation eternally from God. That's one of the ways that you and I can thwart God's plan, simply by rejecting God and His plan for eternal life for us. You go, whew, well, I got that one covered now. I'm okay. Ah, but look at the next one. You see, the second way is a believer not spreading the gospel, not spreading the good news of why Jesus came, why we're excited at a Christmas time, why we celebrate the way we do. This is what's so important, not to leave Christ out of Christmas. You see, a believer not spreading the gospel of God's plan to everyone they can also disturbs God's plan. And we have the free will to do that. We have the free will to say, well, I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't, and I can't, and I can't, and I can't. And I would say to you, if you have a tendency to think what you can't, you need as quickly as possible to read the biography of Helen Keller. If you think you can't do something, I have throughout my whole time in Christian ministry found people say, yes, sir, we want to take the world for Christ. Yes, sir, that's got to be done. But when you get down to what will you do this week to bring people to Christ, you would be amazed at how quickly people can find reasons not to spread the news of why this baby came. I don't know anybody. I don't see many people. I don't talk well. I don't explain things well. I don't know how to do that. And it goes on and on and on. For over 40 years, I've listened to people tell me this. It's a matter of what did He do for you. That's the good news. And the good news is, not only did He do it for you, but He'll do it for somebody else too. Anybody else. We, in the body of Christ, have got to take that baby out of the manger and tell people why He was there. We've got to touch lives with people about that baby. There is no better time of the year to touch the lives of people than when you're celebrating Christmas. Because even the non-believers celebrate Christmas. I'm a firm believer that prosperity goes wherever the name of Jesus goes. And some of you have heard me say this before. And if you don't believe that, most of the gifts in America come from China, a country who claims to be atheistic. And those people are blessed because people are buying gifts because Jesus came. Any place the name of Jesus goes, you go, well, boy, now we're not used to hearing that sort of thing. We're used to hearing about how commercialized Christmas is and how terrible that is. I say prosperity follows the name of Jesus. You're not going to hear me complaining about how commercialized Christmas is. You see, there are Christians in little home churches all over China who are able to feed their families because people in America, Christian or not, are buying Christmas gifts. Prosperity follows the name of Jesus. There is no greater prosperity in the world than eternal life. There is no greater prosperity in the world than eternal life. Why would we not share? Why would we keep that a secret from people? If people don't think we're peculiar because of the way we share Christ, we've got to take a good hard look at ourselves. There are people who are not believers who are running around now, evidently there's been something of a turn of a tide, saying Merry Christmas to people. They're saying Merry Anointed One's Birth. Mass means birth. Christ means the Anointed One. What a great thing to let people know about. Anointed, well, if he's anointed, what's he anointed to do? If you're empowered to do something, people want to know what you're empowered to do. Now, there are certain people in our society that you can see what they're empowered to just at a glance. Why? Because they wear a uniform and a badge. And they've got a gun on their side. So you know that they are empowered to enforce the law. We are empowered to enforce grace. And how do we enforce grace? We tell people, do you know what a mess I'd be without Jesus? Do you know what Jesus did in my life? Do you know what that little baby coming? I remember my first Christmas was unlike any Christmas I had ever experienced. Because that Christmas, I was, as a Christian, about 6 months old as a Christian. And I was so excited about Christmas that year because it meant so much more to me. Because now I had more than a story of a baby in a manger. I had a relationship with that baby that came in that manger. Oh, I enjoyed the presents. Sure. I enjoyed getting presents for people. Sure. But I enjoyed that first Christmas relationship. And I have every Christmas after that. We cannot put the baby in the manger and not tell people why he was there. How many babies have been born throughout history that you know nothing about and could tell people nothing about? But this baby born in history, you know a ton of stuff about. Other people know a ton of stuff about, but they don't still understand the significance of that anointed child in that manger. So, God will fulfill his plan at his time, as he has always done, to bring about completion of redemption in his own way, in his own timing. What we're experiencing now is God's timing. And he'll do it in his own way. So I say to you, go with God's plan. And go with God's plan, God's way. And you will have a phenomenal, phenomenal experience as you do that. You'll have an experience that will be as great as when the shepherds came to the manger. You'll have an experience that will be as great as when the wise men came to the baby. You'll have an experience that will be as great as when they took him to the temple and thought he was with them as they left, Mary and Joseph. And they went back and found him, and he was there with the temple leaders, astonishing them with his understanding of scriptures. Wouldn't you like to have that kind of experience? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of relationship? That's what is offered through this baby in this manger. The whole plan is to fulfill. The whole plan is to fulfill. For God to accomplish, to carry out, to bring to an end, to satisfy, to complete His plan. And we need to say, here am I, Lord. Send me, have me do, put people in front of me, give me the opportunity, let me see the opportunity, give me wisdom on how to exploit that opportunity, and then to go with God's plan, God's way. And that's the teaching for this session.